Good morning on Wednesday, September 2nd, 2015. You're listening to a BrianMadden.com live podcast. I'm Brian Madden. I'm in the VMworld 2015 Expo Hall in the Tech Target booth. Joining me is Gabe Knuth. Hello, Gabe.
Hey, our second day in a row here.
Also joining me from Citrix is Joe Vaccaro.
How are you doing?
And Vishal G. Actually, Vishal, I only know you from Twitter. I know you as Vishal G. You probably do have a last name that's more than G.
Yes, I do, and it's really long. It's Ganeriwala.
So Vishal G.
The pronunciation
like. Vishal G works.
Yeah. Yes, Vishal G works.
I'm serious. I'm not joking. I thought I was going to say that, but I was so worried about butchering it.
But you must have been on Twitter for a long time. Vishal
yes.
G, I
yes.
think, is like a pretty choice name.
Right, because of the 140 character limit.
Yeah. Half the characters are just
yes.
getting your name out there.
Right.
And so today is one of our, we call it a special edition podcast. It's sponsored by Citrix. And Citrix, you know, Citrix Workspace Cloud was released, not announced. I mean, it's shipping as of 2 weeks ago. And wanted to get on the podcast and really dig into the product, what it is, how it works, that sort of thing. And it turned out we're all here together at VMworld. So we said, let's just do this podcast at VMworld. So here we are. And you guys, you know, I guess for those who may not know, so Joe, I talked to you when Citrix announced Citrix Workspace Cloud a year and a half ago.
We first announced the strategy at Synergy 2014.
Embrace and extend.
And then we followed it up with additional demonstrations at Synergy this year. It really kind of showed off the maturity and the kind of the additional services. And then on August 20th, so about a little over a week ago, we released it to the wild. It's fully available, fully shipping, pricing, packaging, everything's released, and really excited about it.
So yeah, we'll dig into that. But in your role at Citrix, like CWC is your baby, right?
I'm one of many people working on it, but I head up product management for Workspace Cloud.
All right, and Vishal, what's your role at Citrix?
So I'm on the apps and desktop side. So Joe is on the Workspace Cloud, which is a platform team, and so I'm on the apps and desktop services team. So more on the Zen app and Zen desktop side. So I've been with Citrix 13 years in many different roles, been with ICA team, and now doing a technical solution.
So the way that Zen app and Zen desktop plug into Citrix Workspace Cloud, that's where you come into this.
Yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So I want to dig into the Citrix Workspace Cloud. I'm very excited about this. And that is not a statement I'm saying because you two guys are sitting right here in front of me. I wrote an article a year and a half ago, after Citrix Workspace Cloud came out, after it was announced, I said, you know, you are looking at the future of Zen App, the future of Zen Desktop. This is what the future is. And if you want to sort of like get a picture for what, you know, Zen App, Zen Desktop 8, 9, 10 are, this is the way that it's going to be working in the next, you know, several years. So I'm very excited about this as a concept. And now, of course, I haven't really, you know, it was just announced a year and a half ago, and now it's actually out. And I want to kind of take some steps back, because I think a lot of people read that article that I did and saw your announcements and were like, okay, this is cool. We'll talk about it later when it's out. Now it's out. So let's take a step back. Citrix Workspace Cloud. How do you describe what it is?
Citrix Workspace Cloud is a SaaS-based platform for us to be able to deliver a number of core services that can be used to deliver a workspace. If you think about what is a workspace, workspace is really what you want as a IT organization. For you, your definition of that workspace might be an application or desktop, it might be mobile apps, mobile device policies, it might be data. And being able to deliver all of these core services from a cloud-based control plane and really simplify that design and delivery by taking the core infrastructure away from really IT's responsibility and really providing that as a SaaS service. But the difference, right, and what the key value of Workspace Cloud is that where your workspaces reside is still in the customer's and the partner's control. So as a customer, if you want your applications and desktops to run on your premises, absolutely. If you want to have your secure data run in Azure, you want to run an engineering desktop in AWS, that full combination, that full breadth is really what kind of is really unique about Workspace Cloud and what we're delivering.
By the way, thank you for saying premises.
You know, it's all from Gunnar. I think when Gunnar was still at Gardner, I think I caught on to the to the trend, and now I'm a pure evangelist of the proper grammar.
Well, I appreciate that.
It's 50-50 here.
Let's dig into this, because first of all, you talk about Workspace Cloud as it's a cloud-based control plane, and it doesn't necessarily, this is not Zenith in the cloud. It could be, but it doesn't mean Zenith in the cloud. This is, I got my existing Zenith Zendesk environment. They're running on my servers or, hosting provider, they're wherever. And it's how users connect, how I manage, how I provision, how I set up. That's all cloud-based. But at the end of the day, when the user actually clicks that button and gets that HDX connection, that's going back to the same server.
Absolutely.
It always has been.
Yeah, and that's a key differentiator, because if you think about the different factors of what customers, really what IT needs and what users expect from a performance, they can't sacrifice any of that performance. That end user experience is really what's, end of the day, going to want that that person to be able to actually click that button and have a great experience. But from an IT perspective, they also need to manage their economics. They need to look at the agility, how fast they can be able to kind of react to different changing demands, scaling up a capacity. And so the ability to leverage a true choice of where your workloads run, your workspace runs, is really the great flexibility that's not only empowering IT to have that choice, but then also not sacrificing the performance for the end user.
So, and not sacrificing the performance because their server could be local, on-premises along with the user. And that's what I want to kind of dig into, because the idea is, so I log into Citrix Workspace Cloud, and I'm an admin, and then I sort of point my existing Zen app, Zen desktop, Zen mobile, SharePoint, we'll talk about that in a minute, infrastructure into it. And then if I want to expand, I can, call Dell or whatever, buy some more servers, plug them in, install Zen app and point them into, add into my farm and point them to cloud, or I can just click a button and say, oh, there's a provider. I can click it right into
Amazon,
Azure, AWS, whatever, like maybe someone's, Citrix hosting provider, DAS, whatever, and I can say I need, 10 more servers, 10 more desktops, whatever. And it's all sort of integrated together, so I can sort of have my one environment, part on my, in my building, part at a hosting provider, part on AWS.
Right, and that's like for, say, on a Christmas time, you need extra capacity, only for, say, a couple of months, right? Like, you're going to have all these things, so contractors coming in for tax season. So you can literally don't buy any more servers, you can spin out extra capacity and then turn them down. So
and
that too.
This is something, like, of course, I've always been able to buy servers on AWS and stand them up myself, but I guess that means I gotta, figure out how, like, the authentication of VPN and servers, and I'm building everything myself, and this is just sort of doing all that for me.
Yeah, if you look at, back in 2013, we released the ability of cloud provisioning, where you could actually then provision using machine creation services, one of our provisioning technologies, and actually create new machine catalogs, new virtual machines that contain the virtual delivery agent in Amazon or in cloud platform. And we've had that ability to provision, but now what we're saying is you don't also need to have the broker, that controller. You don't need to also have the broker, the database in Amazon. Now you can have a centralized global, effectively a global SaaS-based delivery site or delivery controller that can be able to point to many different resource locations where your actual workloads are running.
And that central one is running like in Citrix's cloud? I know it's all confusing. Like, there's only one cloud supposedly this week or whatever. So, but like, where is that? Like, the workspace, like the
you can run the loads everywhere.
Yeah, the loads are
everywhere.
Where's
the management plane at?
Yeah, so we, across our core services, leverage a number of different cloud technologies from Amazon and Azure and others. Really, we're trying not to be too, specific or
like,
really.
It's on you. Like, you guys.
Exactly
are,
right.
I'm
right.
Not,
I,
yeah, you don't
I'm
have
not
to
running,
worry about it.
I'm
the
not
end
running
day,
Citrix Workspace Cloud on my cloud, like I just pay for this from you and you're running the control plane, and where you run it, I assume
exactly.
You know what you're doing.
It's
a
Citrix.com, right?
Yeah, okay.
Behind the day, if there's a problem with it, it's our responsibility to deliver a highly performant, highly available service to you as a customer.
Yeah, and there's no real data, like there's not like, it's because all my data, my resources are plugged into it or wherever I want them to be. All it really has is like a mapping essentially of my environment.
Like, just
my
metadata.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's just like,
since you guys own that, then you can roll out features quickly too, right?
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, all of our core services are now in a continuous development cycle. And actually, some of the new things that within, say, future versions of Zen App will actually show up in the app and desktop service first, right? And that allows us to be able to incrementally be able to validate in the marketplace. Microsoft a few years ago really started this process within, you know, SQL databases, where Azure SQL really started the process of really fine-tuning the features within Azure, and then that became the next version that would ship within the core SQL Server product. And so it's no different, right? Citrix did not innovate this methodology. You know, we're really just kind of adopting these type of principles and moving towards a SaaS-based delivery.
Yeah, the only thing I would add to what Joe just said is we're adding cloud first now. So every feature which is going on-premise is also going into the cloud. In fact, you know, some of the customers, as Joe said, it's the same platform, by the way, right? I mean, it's the same ZenApp and ZenDesktop as you know today. So when we are writing it, I mean, 1% of the customer who are using Workspace Cloud may even try it and pilot it and get that feature ahead of the on-premises guys, like who may get it 3 months after the whole official package is shipped.
So I'll tell you, the customer feedback, and we talked to a lot of folks at Briform about this, which was a month or two ago. Customer feedback, who've been early adopters, has been very, very positive on Citrix Workspace Cloud. And one of the things that they were most impressed, consistently what I heard by talking to actually kind of beta, whatever, you know, trial customers was the pace of innovation from Citrix during this evaluation process was so fast. Like they said, oh, we really need this, and 2 weeks later, it's in the product. And one of the questions I've been asked a few times is, like, that is so different than the rest of Citrix.
When's that going to end?
That's it.
Or can they keep up?
And you know, yeah. This is just so different than the pace of release cycles at Citrix, you know, like on the sort of traditional products. Is that something that you were able to do because this is pre-release thing, or do you really see that you're going to be able to have, like, feature, like, weekly, you know, monthly feature releases? I'm using the wrong word, but, you know, like, just like updates as features are needed, they're rolled in.
Yeah, no, this is not a, that's not because of the tech preview nature, that's because of just how we operate. And it's really changing the entire mindset across the board. You know, and I'm not sure who quoted, right, but it's not the big that eat the small, right? It's really the fast that eat the slow. And Workspace Cloud is going to be no different, right? We need to be able to innovate at the pace of what is really consumerization is demanding upon Citrix as a company delivering technology in the marketplace. And I think, you know, I'm really excited about it. You know, some of our early customers that we've had on since January of last year have really helped to shape kind of the direction of what we delivered initially within Workspace Cloud. And they're going to be absolutely instrumental in terms of, in the future, ensuring that we're delivering value first.
You said since January of last year. So you mean you've had customers like trialing this for 12 plus 8?
January of 2015.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, actually it was November of 2014 is when we had our first customers on. We expanded that in January 2015, and we've had basically been operating those customers as internal production customers since then.
Yeah.
So Joe, I just want to add one more thing on the pace of innovation thing. So Brian, right after the 2 weeks, so the Workspace Cloud was released 2 weeks back, right? And right after we released it, some of the customers thought about an idea, and there was an internal idea about browser as a SaaS service. And we call it browser.cloud.com.
And browser.what.com?
Browser.cloud.com.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's like just virtualizing a web browser for any app, any device, and all those things, right? So we released it in tech preview mode right after the production release of Workspace Cloud. So after we release, we are keep going to release.
Oh, so this is in the past 2 weeks you did this? So,
yes,
correct. To the point of the innovation still coming.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Let's take a step back. Educate me in my ignorance of, like, how is this different? Like, can I just run Citrix storefront, you know, for old school, like, why can't I put my own web interface and, you know, in the cloud? Why can't I just take, I can take Citrix storefront. Like, why can't I just take my own Citrix storefront, publish it, or put it on AWS or whatever, and, like, hook that into all these environments? And why, like, I can do that myself for, you know, like, for free. I'm using air quotes here. How is it different than that?
Yeah, so the key is it's not different, right? This is still Citrix at the end of the day. You're delivering an end user a application or desktop that they need to be able to be productive and get work done. But the difference is, if you think about where IT spends their time, the time actually setting up, configuring against the best practices is really lost time. the time to upgrade to the next version when, say, XANAP 8.0 comes out is lost time, patching it, keeping it highly available. If you can take that IT cost, that operational cost, and now recapture that and apply it to actually improving the experience or actually monitoring the what customers need and giving them new sets of services, end of the day, you're going to give a better performance and a better overall experience to your end users.
I got to tell you,
you don't have to do massive migrations to add features.
Well, you know, dude, like that clicked with me right there. The fact I'm going to tweet this afterwards. I can't tweet and talk at the same time. I ask, how is this different than like putting storefront in your own cloud? And your answer is, it's not. That's brilliant.
Right.
Of course, that's the whole point. Like, yeah, we're just doing it for you. So, and as you said, you know, constant upgrades and all that kind of stuff. I love it. Okay, so let me ask the other question. What I did not technically understand is, you talk about like future versions of XANAP or future features in XANAP, Xen Desktop, showing up in Workspace Cloud, like sort of first. You gave the example with Azure and Azure SQL and everything, but like I don't get that because I thought this was all based on my existing XANAP, Xen Desktop, and it's just hooking into Workspace Cloud as the control plane. So how does like I thought there was no XANAP for Workspace Cloud. It's just like regular XANAP. You know what I mean? So I don't get what you're saying about the features first.
Yeah, I mean, so think about it. So we took the Studio, which was installed on premises, and we are maintaining it, installing it on our end, right? So if we add a feature on Studio, we're adding in the cloud first versus shipping a Studio to the customer, like which will go as a part of the whole product release, the next version or the next feature update, and you would do it. So yeah, sure. I mean, some pieces of that XANAP Xen Desktop will have to be shipped to the customer, but there are some pieces of XANAP and Xen Desktop portfolio. Could be the management piece, it could be the monitoring piece, which we are building in the cloud first anyways, so a new monitoring feature may appear in the cloud first before shipping the director code to a customer on-premise.
And I guess you're also going to have, because you can hook into XANAP and Xen Desktop resources or workload, I don't know what you're calling them, but you can hook into these anywhere. So if I'm running my own XANAP farm, I'm going to upgrade when I'm going to upgrade. If I also have some XANAP servers coming from some other, you know, DAS provider, hosting provider, they probably are able to upgrade faster than I can, and they'll be upgrading like on their own
Absolutely.
Cycles.
Absolutely. Yeah, customers can update the VDAs and the workloads at their own pace,
mm-hmm.
like completely their choice.
And then, like, there's no client for this. It's Citrix. I mean, this is from the receiver. It's the same HGX. It's the same, you know, Xen Mobile. It's the same work. Is work still a thing? Is that...
Yeah, so if you think about Receiver as a kind of universal client across mobile, desktop, web, across everything, it's all the same, right? And that's one of the key things, right? Citrix has built this innovation over the last 25 years that really set Citrix apart in the industry. And we didn't want to, say, take a clean sheet approach and say, we're going to build everything from scratch, because our customers demand the level of features that we've provided. And also, they want to use these in true hybrid type of scenarios alongside a traditional deployment. And having that ability to, I love, Brian, to kind of paraphrase a quote that you had in a previous article talking about this. Instead of building a bridge between a traditional world and a cloud world, we're really just kind of filling in the canyon and making this a completely seamless experience from both a manageability standpoint, but then also an end-user access, whether they're getting an application, a desktop, from a traditionally deployed Citrix environment, or now one that is delivered through Workspace Cloud.
I like how this wound up, right? Because for years we were talking about things like Avalon, or Project Avalon. We were talking about moving workloads into the cloud, but all of that sounded so ridiculously hard. And this sounds like what we always really wanted that to be anyway. So this is,
You know, Gunnar had a couple great YouTube videos that I really encourage you to check out on the YouTube channel, that truly in a matter of minutes, you can have it actually publishing an application through Workspace Cloud, right? Log into workspace.cloud.com. You can be able to leverage that app and desktop service. You deploy a workload, a virtual machine in something like Amazon, and then you're pointing that virtual delivery agent to the cloud controller. And the cloud controller is really what establishes a secure communication channel between Workspace Cloud and your resource location. In a matter of minutes, you're publishing an application, logging in through Receiver.
So let me ask you about that, the cloud controller. Because like, let's say I've got a XANAP, Xen Desktop environment, old school, on-prem, you know, running forever. I can make the account online, it sets up in 2 minutes, whatever. But now how do I actually hook my on-premises behind my firewall XANAP with my users, my domain, into this like new cloud thing I just, you know, this account just created.
So if you think about today, if you kind of boil it down to a 101, in a Citrix, right, there's a controller and a worker. And the worker communicates to the controller or the broker. What we've done is we've taken that broker, we've brought it up and provided that from a SaaS-based service. Now, the broker and the workload still need to communicate. And without what we call that cloud controller or that edge service, you would have to actually have a dedicated VPN connection between our service and the customer's network. So the cloud controller, which is just a simple agent-based approach, establishes the secure communication channel that allows then the worker to now talk to the controller, to the cloud controller, which allows it to then generate sessions and be able to then access it.
Is this a virtual appliance, or is this just something I install on a Windows server somewhere? Or?
Yeah, it's not a VPN. It's really just a little Windows virtual machine.
And it's a proxy kind of a thing.
But it runs as its own VM?
Yes.
So I'm not installing this on every single XenApp server I have.
No.
It's a Windows. This is a Windows app that I install on a... I just built a VM with Windows, put this thing on it, and that kind of is the interface.
Yeah, so what you do is you download, it's basically a simple little executable. You install it on two Windows virtual machines because they're stateless. And from that, then the controller...
For redundancy, you mean? Or?
Yeah, right, for redundancy. Yeah. But they don't maintain state. So if one goes down, that virtual machine dies.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't necessarily... You just basically spin up a new one in a couple of minutes, and then you're back to full capacity.
Yeah. I want to back up for a second, because I think we kind of glossed over, we've been focusing on XenApp and Zendesk, but the whole workspace cloud, the idea is you can sort of plug anything into it. I'm assuming at this point it's anything sort of Citrix-y, in the future it could be anything. But I mean, you can plug in Zen Mobile, you plug in ShareFile, other things, ContactBlue.
Yeah, I guess what are the services?
Yeah, so right now we have the app and desktop service that's
which
fully
is
available.
Zen Mobile.
Which
or,
is
sorry,
Zen,
sorry,
Zen,
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 apps
Zen,
and desktop.
Zen desktop, yeah.
You have Secure Documents, which is based upon ShareFile. We also have Lifecycle Management, which we haven't talked about, which is a blueprinting automation technology that we'll come back to. And then Mobility Management, which is powered by Zen Mobile. And then we have a great roadmap of additional services that I'd love to talk about at a later date. So right now, as you mentioned, we're focused on the Citrix services. Really, what do you need to deliver a core workspace? But as we talked about, that definition of what a workspace is in 2015 is going to change in 2016, it's going to change in 2017. And also, the definition of a workspace, as we talked about, is not just things that Citrix provides. It's also web applications, SaaS applications, and being able to deliver those through a single workspace construct and then assign it to people from a single place is going to be really powerful.
And will that extend out to the Citrix Receiver client? Like the whole, is it called the X1 Receiver? Is that new, like where the UI is coming from?
Right.
Because one of the articles I had a week or two ago where I was really frustrated with Citrix was I said I felt like it's Citrix is forcing me as a customer to use, like, to get the first-class integration to use all their products. So, like, ShareFile and Zen Mobile and then, you know, Receiver Desktop are, like, awesome integration on my mobile device, but we use Box. So, like, Box over here and, you know, everything else in Receiver. So I get the idea of, like, how you're saying on this, you could, you know, a third party could plug in, so Box could plug in there, but, like, will that mean that it's integrated on my Receiver side along with, my Citrix-based services?
That's one direction we can go in terms of integrations. I will point out, right, that ShareFile as a enterprise file sync and share can actually now talk to third-party storage providers like Office 365 and Dropbox and others, your personal clouds, as they call them, to be able to bring those in. But really, Workspace Cloud is a platform where we can be able to integrate many different services, both from Citrix and in the future from third parties. So then as an IT, you have then the power to design your workspaces based upon what you need at that point in time, which might be a combination of Citrix plus other services together.
So an example, so like Zen Mobile, for example, it's the same thing. The Zen Mobile management servers, I'm kind of ignorant here, still live, you know, on premises wherever they are. And it's just like now the management console is part of Workspace Cloud, and I'm using that to assign you know, apps and users and all those mobile type things that I want to do.
Yeah, with the mobility management service in Workspace Cloud, really we're taking the Zen Mobile technology and running that as a service for you. So your app controller, your Zen Mobile server, which are now actually one server in the latest Zen Mobile release are now provided as a service. And actually, Zen Mobile has a cloud offering today the same way that ShareFile has a cloud offering today. What we're doing is now bringing these into Workspace Cloud. And so, as you mentioned, from a management standpoint, the administrator has the ability to then single sign on into these different consoles, design what they need from within each individual service. So you go into the Mobility Management Service console, design your mobile apps that you want to deliver, both Citrix mobile apps and third-party mobile apps, define your mobile device policies, and then those become resources that then you can be able to add into workspaces. Same thing in ShareFile, right? So from within Workspace Cloud, single sign-on into the ShareFile console, design your data offering. So say, I want to have a 1 gig of data that's hosted in Amazon, maybe 10 gigs data plan that's available in Azure. And then those become resources that you can add into a workspace for different personas within your customer environment.
And how about in the comments of the podcast here, someone asked about Acropolis integration. Does that mean anything to you?
Yeah. So if you think about this nature, right, and this is a great point, right, and in that, there's some people in the industry really believe about a kind of a one cloud strategy, but Citrix is really all about any.
What is that? Sorry, I don't know that. What is Acropolis? I'm
Acropolis is the hypervisor from Nutanix that is part of the overall Nutanix hyperconverged infrastructure system.
KVM-based.
Okay. Which is really this notion of kind of invisible infrastructure. And this week we actually provided a press release that said that Nutanix's hyperconverged infrastructure is now Citrix ready for Workspace Cloud. What that means is now you can use Nutanix as a pre-integrated resource location within the app and desktop service in Workspace Cloud. So when you're actually looking to provision your workloads from within the app and desktop service, you can now provision and select Acropolis from within the app and desktop management to now provision your workloads.
That was that drop-down list where they're
right.
showing, okay, that's
exactly
what the picture
right.
on Twitter.
Yeah, and
all
so
right,
it's a, yeah. I think it's a great testament to this notion of really anyness and choice to say, you know what? If your needs can be met best by using the Nutanix system, which is a great partner of Citrix, that's great. If you want to supplement that with Azure and Amazon, that's great. If you want to use a traditional hypervisor such as Zen Server or vSphere or Hyper-V, that's great as well, right? That freedom of choice.
Yeah. We talked about, you know, so Zen apps and desktop, you know, so desktop applications, how they plug in, how mobile applications, how that can plug in. I feel like the other part of that is SaaS applications. When people are when we talk about sort of desktops and enterprise today, does this hook into SaaS applications? And the follow-up question I asked before you even get a chance to answer is like it's not just links that like identity management is so integrated as part of that. So like, I don't need a shortcut to Box. I need it to click it, or Salesforce, or I need to click it, and like I'm just logged in. Like, how does all that play into this?
I mean, so today, it's no different, right? I mean, if you want to provision a SaaS application on a Zen app server today, what you do is just publish that URL, say SAP,
uh-huh.
and then you just provision it. So it's going to be the same thing from a Workspace Cloud perspective. If you have a SaaS application, you can provide that web, you know, SaaS application or web application to the Zen app and Zen desktop today. But in the future, what we are also working for that, you know, Joe mentioned, Citrix Lifecycle Manager, what it does is gives the admin to define some recipes and cookbooks. So for example, SAP can be one of the recipes which admin rolls out, or Zendesk could be one of the recipes as a SaaS application roll out to anybody. So we are trying to write those plugins for like, say,
so
SAP.
Lifestyle management, the lifestyle management is, the lifecycle management is application lifecycle, not like
Correct.
Desktop lifecycle.
For managing and monitoring the core Workspace service. So it could be everything across Zen Mobile, Zen Desktop, ShareFile, and other services.
So single sign-on, is that something that Citrix does? Do you make plugins for that? Do you get into that business? Do you go to Okta? Like, identity management and single sign-on for that kind of thing? Because I get you published today, as you could for 20 years, you know, a URL, but I want to click it and, like,
I think password manager still exists, right? But that's more like stuffing.
Is password manager still a thing?
Yeah.
So password manager is part of the Zen App 6.5 stuff. It's not carried over.
It's
so
kind of old school now.
You know, within Workspace Cloud, I mean, if we think about kind of this notion of kind of optimizing to what customers want in use today, what we've heard through this process of working with our tech preview customers and early adopters is that most of them are, you know, they talk about single sign-on, but a lot of them are still using just traditional Enterprise Active Directory. And so one of the first things that we did is say, let's be able to leverage your existing identity systems natively and securely within Workspace Cloud. And so one of the things that the Cloud Connector does, beyond just being able to say, be able to initiate a session or provision a workload, it also allows you to be able to read your Active Directory domains and users from within your existing forest. And so customers today, right, they have Enterprise Active Directory rolled out across the world. Now, when you install the Cloud Controller within your system, that domain joining machine is able to then reach into your Active Directory domains and be able to then enumerate your users and groups out of it. So when you're actually looking to then assign a workspace that can contain mobile apps, mobile device policies, data, apps and desktops, you can be able to then enumerate out of those different domains across forests, right? And so that's really what we're focused on right now. But then as we evolve into it, then you can look at additional ways you want to be able to focus on identity, leveraging things like Azure AD, leveraging things like ADFS and other types of SSO.
We use like our devices as a second factor, that sort of a thing.
Exactly right.
Which so, I guess is more of a Zen Mobile, because like, some of the things too, like some of those features, like using your device as a factor, is a Zen Mobile thing that I guess when that happens in Zen Mobile, then that just kind of becomes...
It's just a feature. We just inherit that feature because that's something that's inherently already available within the core services that we deliver.
So just one more thing for the single sign-on thing. So Netscaler today already supports SAML and SAML 2.0. So and we already have provider integration with, say, SAP and like 10 or 12 popular apps or maybe more. I don't know how many apps. So if you're choosing one of those apps, you will get that single sign-on capabilities to those SaaS apps anyways through Netscaler.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, it's a great point that, right, we haven't really talked about Netscaler, right, and the same gateway functionality now is applicable. So you leverage all those same great things from the ADC and your single sign-on and identity management within the same gateway device.
Where is my Netscaler? Do I run Netscalers? I mean, I know when I say Netscaler now, it's all VM, but I mean, like, do I run those on my premises, or is that part of the cloud? Or like, where do those live in this model?
So they're part of your own on-premises right now, right? I mean, because you will need a gateway to, say, load balance your applications.
I guess you're right. HDX is running through those,
right,
and that's
exactly.
all still
right,
the
right,
same.
Right, right.
You don't want to create these hairpinning environments, right, where you're hairpinning your traffic up through our SaaS control plane and back down. You want to actually deliver as quick point-to-point connections. And so you just run a gateway device within each of your different resource locations around the world, and then load balance those, and then Storefront is able to then make that adaptive decision on where's the best gateway to choose based upon the application you're trying to launch.
Yeah. Now, how does this work? When you're talking like Comcast and Verizon, they're like, okay, we need to ensure that we have a hairpinning solution here. I would imagine, right? this is out today, right? Like, what is out? So Workspace Cloud.
Yeah, so we have the App and Desktop Service, the Secure Document Service, and Lifecycle Management Service are fully available.
Okay, so hang on. I'm going to tie this back to like my tech product.
Yeah.
App and Desktop Service is ZenApp and Desktop.
Yep.
Secure Documents is ShareFile.
And Lifecycle
Manager. Which was there a Citrix product that was Lifecycle Manager? That's a new thing.
So we acquired a company called Scale Extreme
a little while ago,
and then that evolved into the Lifecycle Management Service that's now available through Workspace Cloud.
Yeah. I pay you for this. You run it as a service.
Yeah, these are available as a subscription that are available today. You can go to citrix.com and see the pricing. We have different packages or different offerings based upon the different needs that you have today. One of the things that's really important is that you might have a need of just a lifecycle management service. You might have a need just for the app and desktop service. You might have a need for the mobility management service, or you might have a need that spans across all of them. So we want to give you different offerings to be able to select what you need today or be able to deliver these as a kind of an integrated suite, what we call the app and data suite, which gives you all the core services available on a per-user, per-year pricing.
Is it tying to partners at all? How do partners... Are partners selling?
Yeah, so this is still still sold through the channel, the same way that Citrix has really kind of helped to really drive our partner ecosystem. And we think, really, we talk about Workspace Cloud as a platform for customers, but really, it's actually a platform for partners and customers.
Right.
And we like to really talk about how it's a really partner-first, because partners are the ones that really make this come alive. They're the ones that are designing the policies. They're the ones that are really, what we talk about, making it a workspace business ready. And so partners are really, really incredibly important through the success of Workspace Cloud.
So what? who have you seen using this so far? So it's been out for a short period of time. Like, what are the types of customers that are using it today? What different use cases?
Yeah, so, customers are using it for a couple different reasons. You know, a lot of the app and desktop service is really looking at expanding to new users, right? And being able to reach new users where they haven't necessarily had the IT skill set to be able to deliver a complete Zen app and Zen desktop environment in that location. Now from this global kind of SaaS service, they can just deploy the resources in that location and bring all the management and all the IT infrastructure still within that SaaS service.
This is like me. I mean, for me, I was awesome at Zen app, you know, in like 1997 or whatever. And like, now I'm just like a blogger. And so I can build a server, get my apps installed, all that kind of stuff, get that kind of set up, you know, profile and all that. But now like all the billion like storefront and all this other, like build the whole environment, you know, like if you can build a server, then I hand you the keys to like do the rest.
If I have an existing environment, I mean, what's that migration process like? Because I'm shifting the management plane from local to
CWC. First of all, there is no migration because your apps and desktop are still with you. That was the most important piece, right?
Okay, fine. How do I move?
Right. So you just change. So you were actually having, you know, you were going to the broker which was on premises. So you just change that broker to the cloud control plane broker.
Okay.
That's it. And the database. There are only two things changed, which is very...
Which could be just a DNS entry change, really.
Right. Yeah, so this is really, really simple, like a blueprint which says, just change these for these VDAs instead of going here, now they are going in the cloud.
Okay.
So extremely simple.
But I can shut down, like what can I stop using if I start using this? I can turn off my storefront servers?
You could turn off your storefront, you could turn off your SQL databases, you could turn off the Windows virtual machines that host your brokers.
Wait a minute, I did not get that. I turned my SQL, because all my app publishing, which apps are published to which groups and everything, that's living in this.
Yeah, right. So it's all part of the app and desktop service. That's part of Workspace Cloud now.
That configuration, though, has to move as well. So how's that move?
Right. So that's database.
Pointing the VDAs, but...
Right. So that's why I said, you just move your database DSM. You just move your database, copy the database to the cloud database.
Can you do that? Can I say, here's my environment snapshot and put it up there? Is that a thing that you guys can do?
So I think there is a blueprint we are actually, you know, working on to do something like that. But today, if you just wanted to move the VDA settings, yeah, potentially you can do those things.
Okay. So I literally don't run, there's no SQL databases. Like, my whole environment...
You're just a bunch of VDAs.
Man. Okay, I did not get that.
You got
That's
it,
awesome. Yeah. So, awesome. So now...
That's awesome.
When we talked about pricing, I know, I'm on the page. There's obviously a lot of different options because there's all the different plugins like lifecycle management, the Zen App, Zen Desktop, mobility, you know, secure document services. There's different options for what you can do and with your partners and everything. But is this per month? Are we paying a couple dollars a month? Is it $10 a month, $50 a month?
So let me walk through it then. So within the app and desktop service, there's two core subscriptions. There's a virtual desktop subscription, which is equivalent of $20 per user per month, which gives you the ability to deliver any type of desktop, whether that's a published desktop or a VDI desktop, to one resource location. For $35 per user, equivalent of $35 per user per month, you really get the full capabilities of the app and desktop service. Any application or any desktop delivery type to any number of locations. Now, the lifecycle management is also available as a standalone. And one of the key things we haven't really talked about, lifecycle management, is using those key blueprints to, say, stand up a traditional environment. And lifecycle management has a offering that's available, that's actually included if you're current on software maintenance, and then it has a couple additional subscriptions if you want some additional advanced features. Now, if you want everything, if you want all the capabilities of the mobility management service, the secure document service, the app and desktop service, for $40 per user per month, what we call the integrated app and data suite, you get all of those services and all the capabilities.
So you're moving away from language like Platinum and Enterprise, but like that's kind of but the concept still exists. There's, you know, it does a lot of different stuff, and so it's sort of like, which plugins and how much resource, what you're plugging into and everything, is depending on the package.
Yeah, we want to create offerings that really tie back into how customers want to use this, right? Be use case driven in the packaging strategy. And then, you know, we'll take the customer feedback, and if customers drive us in a different direction, then we're we're able to change as
well. Well, you know, if you're a big customer and you need it a different way, I'm sure it'll be made available in the way that you need it. As history shows, like in all of the world of enterprise software for the past 50 years. Okay, but so sorry, going back to this. So I buy this thing. I don't need a storefront. I don't need
databases.
SQL. I don't need, you know, those servers are gone. So I just need my Zenapp servers.
Just install VDAs and let us do the rest. Yeah.
Gone.
And you literally point them towards, point them towards this like controller connector.
The cloud controller that's running in your premises or within your resource location that you control in a public cloud.
Does that cache anything in case the internet connection goes down?
So that's why you would...
Or your cloud goes down or whatever?
That's why you'd have pairs, right? So if one controller goes down, then you're still able to establish connections on that second controller.
And all the users... Oh, of course, I guess if the internet goes down, like, well, this is a cloud, like, they can't get out. So, because the users are browsing to, you know, they're hitting your server in the cloud. They're logging into your servers. The catalog is built on your servers because it's all living in your cloud because publishing there and all that stuff. And it's only when I actually click the link, say, like, run Word, that's the only time when it actually comes down and then ties in the VDA and, like, makes it happen and everything.
Yeah, only really in that kind of that control path, right, of initiating the session. Once the session's been initiated in the ICA, ICA package, it goes from the receiver to the actual workload. Workspace Cloud is out of the loop, right?
Yeah.
So at that point, if there's a blip in your outbound internet or if one of the controllers has an issue, you're not going to be affected.
Yeah. And obviously, if your internet goes down, well, no one's getting out to do any, like, in the first place. So, all right, that's awesome. Do you find yet, are people... let me back up. I feel like a lot of desktop people are used to running Zen apps and desktop inside their own walls, and you know they're like sort of grizzled against DAS and against, you know, this kind of stuff. I could see this allowing them to like dip their toe a little bit into more cloud-based Windows apps and like desktop as a service type stuff, where this kind of can become, well, you know, we use Workspace Cloud as our you know, move the control in there, start getting that. And it's like, I need this app for this department, and it's maybe doesn't tie too much into other on-prem databases. And it's like, you know, I can just hit a button right here.
Well, or imagine you've got your environment scaled out such that adding one more group of users maybe screws up your redundancy, and so you'd have to buy a whole bunch more hardware in order to keep your redundancy settings set up properly. Right. So yeah, you could burst out just a little bit and use kind of the incremental growth that the cloud offers to. I don't want to say burst; it's the wrong word, right? That's like a workload.
We call it flex out, right?
Yeah.
Where it's you're making the decision. It's a really decision-driven kind of action rather than this notion of being transient. Things like moving in and out.
It's getting louder in here, so maybe you already said this during the licensing, but so we're paying a set fee for Workspace Cloud, but if we're putting desktops in the cloud, then we're on our own to pay AWS. For the desktops that we're buying?
Yeah, we want to be able to maintain that level of choice. And many times what we've found is that customers already have an existing relationship with Microsoft, you know, through their enterprise agreement. They're already gaining Azure capacity. Or what we find is that actually a lot of customers, they want to use a cloud service, but they want their workloads to still run on premises. And maybe they're actually overcapitalized in terms of their capacity inside of their own data center. And now really they get to leverage the speed of cloud and the benefits of SaaS, but still have the actual execution of the workloads run within their premises. And so that's why the subscription offerings don't actually include any infrastructure capacity right now.
And that's a key point. Like, Citrix does not host your Zen app sessions. You are not in that business.
Absolutely.
You hook up to other providers. So obviously I can, if I want someone to host my Zen app sessions, you've got 2,500 companies on the list that'll do that, including what companies who are going to do that and use Azure and AWS and that kind of support. I can build myself on Azure and AWS, or, you know, there's a bunch of different options there. But I cannot run a Zen, like, the only Zen app sessions that Citrix handles is responsible by your CIO for your employees.
Yeah, and there's great reasons, right? We really firmly believe that the application should choose the infrastructure, right? There's great reasons to run and choose SoftLayer to leverage some of their unique, say, physical capabilities and GPU acceleration. There's great reasons to use Azure, maybe if you're trying to virtualize a Windows application that's going to tie into Office 365. There's great reasons to use AWS in terms of the breadth of locations, and there's great reasons to use on-premises things like Nutanix, things like Workspace Pod, or things like other traditional hardware vendors, right? So really allow the application to choose where it's best, its affinity, and really that's kind of the cornerstone of the overall strategy.
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought of it that way. The cloud was kind of the cloud in my eyes, right? We want it to be one cloud, but each one has different capabilities, and so, yeah, letting the application pick where to go makes sense.
Yeah, and even from a security perspective, for example, like Amazon and Azure Cloud have now federal-ready clouds, like a special section completely for the federal, like the DoD Department Cloud, yeah. Untouchable. Yeah. If they want to leverage that resources, yeah, go ahead, do that. I mean, you know, there is if you own it, you have to do those certifications, those compliances, and all those things, right? And it's that business is hard.
So one thing I do want to come back to, though, is this lifecycle management service, because I think it's a little bit underrepresented, and when people think about Workspace Cloud, a lot of people focus in on the app and desktop service. But the lifecycle management is a great set of tools for customers who want to be able to maybe operate at that speed of cloud, but they still want all the components to reside within their premises.
What? So operate at the speed of cloud?
Let me break that down, that marketing standpoint. I'm sorry, I got a little bit ahead on the marketing side, but if you think about it, you can have a blueprint for a fully validated Citrix Zen App environment, right? You think about
a blueprint is like you mean like a reference architecture. Like here's this, here's how to talk, here's how to work.
And it's not just documented in terms of a reference architecture. It's actually step by step that's been programmed into the blueprint. So you say, I want to take this validated blueprint out of lifecycle management, and I'm going to say I want it to be deployed on my premises. You insert a couple of different variables, and then the lifecycle management service stands up that entire environment, configures your storefront, configures your NetScaler, deploys the database, joins the machines to the Active Directory domain. And when the blueprint is done running, you have a fully set up, fully validated against Citrix reference architecture in Citrix environment.
And you guys build those blueprints.
Correct.
I guess customers could do it also.
Customers as well. So Atlantis has a blueprint. So if you want to use Atlantis within your Citrix environment, you can leverage that. Logins VSI. And we have a whole backlog of additional partners. And so the customer, the IT provider, can be able to just grab the blueprint out of the catalog, customize it to their specific needs, and then just say, I want this blueprint deployed within my resource
location. Okay, so that's cool. Now, what's that to do with Workspace Cloud? What is having that in Workspace Cloud do that didn't do before?
Because if you think about it, you might have a specific reason where you need to have your broker run on your premises. Maybe in a highly secure environment, or one, maybe you need it to be able to operate if the actual outbound internet goes down. And so it's just use case driven approach to say, if the use case is right to leverage and still have full control over your Citrix environment, leverage lifecycle management blueprints to deploy that.
Right, so I'll give you one more reason. It's having there. So Lifecycle Manager not only rolls it out, but manages and monitors it too, right? So you rolled out this blueprint, and the agent, the Lifecycle Manager agent, actually monitors it. If the server goes down, you as an admin will get an alert in the, saying, hey, something went down, your VDA is down, fix this app server, right? Or you can do other things.
Can I use that to, sort of incremental stuff? So I built my environment with a blueprint, and I've got, 5 Zen app servers in there, and I want 4 more now. I click a button, and it just adds 4.
Yeah, you can do that manually, or you can have it actually based upon auto scale. So you can look at threshold to say, when my CPU threshold for my delivery controller gives above 90%, automatically spin up a new one, join it to the overall farm, put it into the load balancer, and that can be able to do that more kind of an autonomic fashion.
Can I add pauses into this script so it looks like I'm doing it as a human, so that my boss thinks I spent 8 hours setting a new environment up instead of fixing it in 14 seconds?
In the agile development, I'll take that feature as a feature request specifically.
That is a very eloquent way to say that idea is dumb. Yeah. But I love when I hear from vendors we will add that request to our list. I haven't heard that specific one. Good job, buddy.
We hadn't thought of that.
Thanks for the idea, bud.
Because it was ridiculous.
Yeah, there's a reason. I have not proposed that because I'd be fired because it's stupid. So what is next? You also gave the very product manager-y answer to future, there's lots of amazing features I would love to talk about at a future time. So that's cool. What can you talk about now, though, for what's next with Citrix Workspace Cloud? We talked a little bit about some of these other sort of plug-in type things and getting it to plug-in direct to when we were using examples like Dropbox and Box and that kind of stuff. But,
you know, I think we're going to let the customers lead us in where we go next. But specifically, one of the things that we really want to look at is how we can be able to make this even simpler, both from a manageability standpoint, from an onboarding of a customer, and be able to get them to their workspace as quick as possible. And so by enhancing the cloud storefront that's available, by integrating networking services to make the actual setup and actually getting you to that full production workspace as quick as possible are going to be really where we focus in the near future. But as we mentioned, right, the path of innovation or the speed of innovation is really accelerating. And so in the past, when people say, oh, yeah, that's here's our next.
We don't have to wait until next synergy.
Yeah, this is not 18-month cycles, right? These are weekly cycles. And so our line of sight right now is really focused on the next weeks and months. And really that's a great thing as a product manager where I can be able to take feedback like Brian, who wants to be able to have the system slow down so it looks like he's working more.
And prioritize that by the fact that he's spending no money. So how long is your list right now?
It's really long. I mean, the customers that we've had today, that are number now in the hundreds, have given us tremendous feedback. One, it's been incredibly constructive and incredibly positive, but there's things where we can improve. Your first service is never going to be perfect, and there's definitely things that we want to improve. And so important right now is making sure that we can deliver upon that message of any cloud to give you the ability to get to your workspace in a matter of minutes and really optimize that around that. And then as we talked about, the definition of your workspace is going to evolve. So that's going to mean adding more services that are integrated into the platform across the Citrix portfolio, as well as across third-party portfolio, as well as then now attacking other types of areas around other areas like the OctaBlue and kind of the Internet of Things. And how does that fit into this notion of a software-defined workplace?
Yeah, how does that fit in?
If you think about, from my perspective, right, as people are transitioning from one place to another, really the boundaries between the physical and the virtual are starting to really disappear. And the OctaBlue technology provides a really interesting opportunity for the IT administrator to really design how a person should interact in the physical world when they're using a virtual workspace. And so if you think about the policies and how things should react when you're moving in the physical world, I think that's really where OctaBlue is going to really play into the workspace cloud strategy.
Yeah, I mean, because turning on lights when you flex your forearm is cool, but, you know.
No, but if you think about when I come into, you know, the workspace hub that we're demonstrating in the Citrix booth today, being able to walk into a room and flick up your session and being able to then, automatically join a GoToMeeting. Like, these are just experiments, but I think they're really pointing in the direction of really making the boundary between the physical and virtual be kind of more invisible.
It's that it's that Citrix video from 15 years ago. The guy gets in the futuristic-looking Mercedes and has a video con or whatever, the big con.
So we talked for almost an hour here. I don't know if there's anything else that you, either of you two, want to mention we haven't covered yet. I don't know if there's any, do you hear common misconceptions about Workspace Cloud, anything you want to clear up? I mean, clearly, someone just listens to this podcast, they are caught up and they're awesome.
So I think, maybe I'll kind of wrap things up by that. Create your free account on workspace.cloud.com. You can be able to leverage some of the services that are available free of charge, like the browser app service that we talked about in the lab section, like the lifecycle management service. You can request access to some of the other services that are available. And we really encourage you to check it out. We think it's going to be a great thing, not only for the delivery of applications and desktops, but we talk about really delivering of the complete workspace. Shaul, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I mean, talking about writing services fast, so one more service we just wrote using the Citrix Lifecycle Manager was a VMware View migration service to Zen Desktop. So you have a blueprint. You just punch in username and password and a couple more settings there, and you push a button. It actually exports out the data and imports it into the Workspace Cloud.
Interesting. Because why not?
Yes. Yeah. Why not?
No, that's cool. I I've loved watching this thing grow. I'm really impressed with how it is. And Gunnar Berger is standing over here, and when I said it's just a bunch of VDAs, he raised his arms like Rocky into the air. I think it's amazing.
Yeah, so. I missed that completely. So that's awesome. So
he stood back and did it so he didn't punch Joe in the side of the head.
No sequel comment, actually.
Okay. So I'm on workspace.cloud.com, and I'm going to set up my account right now and kind of get rolling on this thing. Awesome. So Joe Vaccaro, by the way, I read on the Twitter that you have a new baby.
I did. I became a father a week ago.
And this is your first one?
First one, yep.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing. So, congrats.
Hopefully my wife's not listening to this podcast because I kind of snuck out of the house this morning just because I wanted to spend time with Gabe and Brian.
Oh, clearly.
At least you're local, though. It's not like you had to fly from Fort Lauderdale to here. Sorry, honey. Yeah. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, congrats. And so we can follow you on Twitter at Joe Vaccaro. Your last name is spelled V-A-C-C-A-R-O. And then also Vishal G. His Twitter account is Vishal G. to both of you, thank you so much for sharing. So, congrats on getting this out. This is it's an exciting product. I'm really looking forward to the service provider starting to bundle this together, and then because service provider can bundle in like here's the cost and here's the desktop with the cloud control plane and everything. And I don't know. I like this a lot. So I'm really excited that this is out there. Thanks. Thanks for taking the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Thank you, Gabe.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Justin, for running that little box over there, whatever that thing does. And Mariah and Jack for listening. We only have four microphones, so Jack is listening upstairs in the press room.
We brought our four microphones.
we did bring all four of our microphones, though. So anyway, to those who listened today, thanks so much. Enjoy the rest of your show, and congrats on being a father.
Thanks.